Some financial market mysteries explained. From APM, I'm David Brancaccio via the studios this week of the BBC in London with the Marketplace Midday Update. Something to keep an eye on in the U.S. labor market today. New claims for unemployment benefits went up more than forecast in the last week. That said, the four-week trend is going in the right direction. As for stocks, if you like the S&P 500 index, we are cruising along at a near record high. Susan Schmidt is head of U.S. equities at Mesirow Financial in Chicago. Morning, Susan.
Good morning.
If I viewed the world through the single prism of the S&P 500 stock index, things would look pretty good.
Well, things do look pretty good if you're just sticking with those rose-colored glasses. I think what's more interesting is to look a layer below. There's some big differences that are showing up across the indices that I find interesting. So some of the sectors that have done very well have been REITs and utilities.
Real estate investment trusts, exactly.
Exactly. And then when you look at the small caps, not in the S&P 500, so small caps are more represented by your NASDAQ, the Russell 2000, that index is actually down 5% year to date. And that typically means that investors are shying away from smaller companies, which they perceive as having slightly higher risk. So all is not great. There is some level of concern in the investment community, and people are definitely moving backwards and taking a look and reassessing.
Now, hey, you got to help me with something. I've been tracking this for a couple of weeks here, but I want to hear your theory. Interest rates, you'd think, would be going up more, given the fact that the Fed is going to raise interest rates at some point. Yet the 10-year Treasury yield at the moment, 2.54%. This stuff is low.
It is low, particularly when we came into the year at 3%. And if things in the economy are really getting better, then it would be logical that interest rates would start inching upwards. So I actually blame Europe. Think of us 3 years ago, and that's about where Europe is. They're coming out of their problems. They need a little help with the economy. They're keeping their interest rates very low. On a risk basis, I'm much more certain about the recovery and the safety in the U.S. market. So I'm going to buy the U.S. bonds, and that's pushing that U.S. interest rate down.
So actually, the Europeans are helping us. All right, Susan Schmidt at Mesirow Financial in Chicago. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
The latest from the Wall Street markets in a sec, but since we're in London, let's start with a different kind of street market. At London's Portobello Road Market for knickknacks and antiques, meet David Bailey, not the famous photographer, but David Bailey who sells, well, give a listen.
I sell a mixture of stamps and sets, postcards, all of which have got a London connection, which go from about 1903. Obviously, since most of my customers are visitors from abroad, then it's key toward things that people associate with Britain, like Henry VIII sets, Diana sets, the Harry Potter set, the Beatles sets, other things reflecting British culture.
One fascinating challenge to London as a financial capital comes this fall when people in Scotland will vote about whether they want to become an independent country separate from the United Kingdom. London keeps sending warnings about supposed negative economic consequences of a vote for independence. In the last day, the head of the Confederation of British Businesses said, quote, "It is difficult to see how independence would be better for investment and jobs." The BBC's UK affairs correspondent Rob Broomby covers this. Rob, good morning.
Morning, Dave.
English officials who don't want Scotland to break off are talking about dire consequences. Aren't our Scottish friends listening?
In terms of the No campaign, those who want to keep the UK together, some of these scare stories actually backfire because people feel insulted by them. They feel that's a very negative tone coming from London. But of course, behind all this, we're hearing from senior leaders of the business community as well, pointing out their concerns. Mike Rake, head of the main employers organisation, the CBI, has said, with all the questions over oil, defence contracts and the currency, all of this would be very bad for the economy.
I think it could certainly, you know, slow down recovery. And inevitably, a yes vote will create quite a significant period of uncertainty around what will happen with currency, what will happen with membership of the European Union. And this is not a good background to encourage investment.
That's what got so people so annoyed in Scotland, was when the British government here in London started talking about, not so fast, you might not be able to keep the pound sterling.
Yeah, that went down particularly well. When it comes to business, though, there are other voices saying Scotland has a future independent from the UK. Ivan McKee of Business for Scotland, for instance, they campaigned for a yes vote. He rejected the concerns of the CBI and many of the employers' organisations.
What they're worried about is the loss of Scotland's tax revenue. Scotland contributes more than it takes out in terms of the UK. They're rehashing a bunch of scare stories.
By the way, the CBI is sort of like the Chamber of Commerce here.
That's right. And of course, there are questions. And at the moment, we're in a campaign mode from both sides. And what the voters on the ground are often saying to us is we're not getting the information we need. Both sides have very little interest in providing neutral, factual information. Both sides want to win.
Now, of course, independence may be turned down when it comes to that vote in September, but there's always a chance it succeeds, and that would represent a profound change here in the British Isles.
It would be a body blow to the United Kingdom. We would lose a third of the landmass of the United Kingdom. There'd be big questions about defence. There's the oil to divide up. Fisheries is another issue. The euro we've already talked upon. There are a host of problems to be sorted.
The BBC's UK affairs correspondent, Rob Broomby. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And the British government has just ordered a long-term study into the cognitive and health effects, if any, of cell phones on the brains of kids as young as 11. Look for my blog at marketplace.org if you missed this on the air. Out of London this week, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.